Romans chapter 1, as we begin to read the text here this morning, it'll be very familiar to you. Don't come with some new revelation, just more of a reminder to you. I've just been thinking about a lot this week, and just went into the scripture to remind myself about the power of the gospel. And when I say that, what I'm referencing is the power of the gospel to change lives, amen? The power of the gospel to transform, as we use, the scripture uses the word about a transformation. How many is thankful that you've been transformed? Amen, that we've been made new this morning, that we've been born again. I read a text this week, I guess it was a post from one of my favorite ministers, Vody Bachum, and he said this. He said, talking about specifically the gospel, he said, the new birth is not you bending your will towards God. The new birth is God making you new and giving you a new will bent toward him that you then can exercise by God's grace. And as I read that, I said, thank you, God, for that new birth. Amen. Thank you for the new will. It's not God revamping our old will or reconstructing us in a sense that, you tear out. It's a new creation in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's what we've come unto. And I went through several verses to start with today, and I'll try not to touch on all of them, but I ended up here in Romans chapter number 1, because as we think about the power of the gospel, here's what the Apostle Paul says in verse 16. I'm just going to read 16 and 17, and we'll back up and maybe look at the ones previous to that. But he says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. You can probably quote that, can't you? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Now, I want to focus on verse number 16 this morning. We probably won't get too much into 17, but maybe save that for a later time. But we're talking about the life-transforming truth. When we think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, our response to these truths alter our time and eternity, doesn't it? Amen. It's how we respond to the gospel. It affects our think about eternity this morning. Amen. When we think about what lies beyond the grave or what goes beyond this life, when Paul's statement here about, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto, or bringing man unto, salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen. Now, and so he's talking about the gospel, this statement about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says it's the power of God. Amen. How many is thankful for power? Amen. Power for what? Well, we've already established that, haven't we? Power to change a life. Amen. Power to create anew. Amen. The Word of God, the same Word that spoke something out of nothing. Amen. The same Word that spoke light and darkness can speak into our life and create us anew. I need to be reminded of that sometime. Maybe not so much in my own life, because I believe that my name's written in heaven. I believe I've been born again. I believe there's a seat for me. Amen? I believe that there's a place prepared for me that God has made for them that love him. But I want to remember that the same God that changed my life is still working today. Amen? I don't say that in arrogance and act like that I've arrived at some perfect level or anything. I'm just thankful for what God has done in my life. Amen? And that I can rest in him. And I can be assured in him and in the salvation that he has provided. I've not forgotten what God brought me from. Amen. I remember the pit from which I was dug. Amen. I remember where God brought me out of and the sin that he saved me from. And the same God that did that to me, the same God that we read about in the scripture and the lives of people that have changed, that have been changed, is the same God that still works today. Amen. There's such a great testimony in the testimony of a changed life, isn't it? Amen. When Jesus was before the Pharisees that day, and they thought they were so self-righteous, and that they were, they looked down upon those that were sinners, and that woman came in that day and began to wash Jesus' feet with her hair and anoint him with oil, and they looked down and said, what kind of man is this that he would let this sinner woman do this? And what kind of man would allow this? What kind of man would do this? And Jesus turned to the woman and said, her sins are many, but because she's been forgiven, she's going to love much. Amen. He that has been forgiven of much loves much. Amen. Do we have any people in here this morning that love the Lord? Amen. Do we have anyone here today that's been forgiven of much? Amen. And he turned to that woman and said, your sins are forgiven you. Amen. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. And what a great promise that God has for us, that he is a God that changes. He is a God that makes us anew. And so this is a gospel statement. When we look at what the Apostle Paul says, he's talking about the gospel. Just I had to turn one page over to the first part of the chapter 1 of Romans. But if you read what he says this, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. God had set him apart for the purpose of the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Promised what? Well, it's concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Amen. According to the flesh, he was of the seed of David, but declared to be the Son of God. Amen. So without controversy and without doubt this morning, we know and recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Son of the living God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So he first begins to share with us the content of the gospel. And then Paul, from there, he'll move into his own personal representation of that gospel and how that God had called him into the gospel. God had set him apart. There's many places, at least three that I know of in the scriptures, that the Apostle Paul shares his great testimony, a testimony of one that was a blasphemer, a testimony of one that had persecuted the church, a testimony of one that thought of his own righteousness and his obedience to the law was enough to have him enter into the kingdom of God. But then when the Lord shone that light upon him on the path, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord answered, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Amen. And so from that day on, there was a change that took place in the Apostle Paul's life. Amen. That's his testimony. He says, the Lord changed me. Amen. I was this, and now I'm this. Amen. I've been made new in Christ Jesus. The power of a changed life. Amen. Our testimony this morning, amen, can declare to the world that Jesus still saves. Amen. That the gospel has not lost its power. Amen. There's some sitting here this morning. I may not know of your own experience or the details of your life, but I do know one thing. You're here this morning. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, if your name is written in heaven, you're here because the Spirit of God has moved into your existence. Amen. That God has spoke life into you. Amen. The gospel. That's the gospel message. Amen. Paul's theme here is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not hesitant to preach it. He says, I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. I'm not ashamed. Amen. We've looked at that word a couple of different ways. And one thing we understand that Paul, even though, you know, he'd been persecuted, he'd been, if you look throughout the book of Acts and you follow the path through that book in the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll see that he was imprisoned in Philippi. He was chased out of Thessalonica. He was smuggled out of Berea. He was mocked in Athens, and he was stoned in Galatia. But yet still we find him standing up here saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. How much more should we this morning stand up boldly and declare the word of God? That he's still the answer. Amen. That he's still the way into life. And yet here we find him eager to preach into Rome. He says, I want to come to you. I want to come to you and I want to preach the gospel that I might have some fruit in your life. Amen. He says, matter of fact, he says here, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of the Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Amen. How many believes Paul meant that? Amen. He wasn't saying, I pray for you. No, he says, I pray for you all the time. I make mention of you always in my prayer. So every time the Apostle Paul got down on his knees, every time he went before the Lord in prayer, in whatever situation he might have been in, there were some times he wasn't able to get on his knees, wasn't it? Amen. There were some times that he was chained to a board. Amen. There were some times that his feet was in stocks, and he wasn't able to do that. But he says, even in those, he says, I prayed for you. And then he goes on from there and he says, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. Paul says, I want you to be established. I want you to be strengthened. Man, we look into the Word of God this morning as a group. We come together in this place. We worship the Lord in song. We go to Him in prayer. We bring our supplication before Him. But we open up His Word today. And we read the same Word that's been handed down from century to century to century. And we look at it today, and it's the same Word of God that established the saints of the first century. And it's the same Word of God that the Apostle Paul preached. And he said, I want to come to Rome, and I want to impart some gift to you, not that I might seem like I'm something, or that I might appear great or appear smart, or to be able to, you know, do certain things worth the Word of God, you know, jump up on it once in a while and just kind of, you know, see what we can do with it. Now he says, I want that. I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to bring it to you, and the Word of God will establish you. Yeah. Amen. It will strengthen you. Amen. I love the way he goes to Timothy there in his epistles to Timothy, his letters to Timothy, trying to build him up. And he talks about the Word of God. If you look at there, I hadn't planned to go here this morning, but I think I can find it over in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And he says this, verse 15, he's talking to Timothy. He says, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He says, you've known them. Why did he know them? Well, because mama taught him them. Amen. Grandma taught him the Scriptures. He says, you've known them from a child. Aren't you glad for the advantage of knowing it from a child? Amen. Knowing it when you're taught it when you're young. He says, thou hast known them, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. But listen, it's not the wisdom, it's not the knowledge that's going to bring about the salvation. Wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Not enough to know the Scripture, is it? Not enough to be able to quote it. Not enough to have the head knowledge. Amen. The Scripture's got to bring you through faith to Jesus Christ. Amen. It's got to bring you to that point in your life. Amen. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. He says this, the Word of God has effect, doesn't it? As I was looking through the passages of Scripture, and I was trying to bring about this thought this morning, I couldn't decide if I wanted to start here or start there or start in this place, because there was so much that had to say about the power of the gospel or the power of the Word of God. Amen. But as we read the Scriptures, as we read the Word of God, earlier on, Paul, I can't really put my finger on it here, but he was talking to Timothy earlier, and he says this. He says, I want you to consider what I say. All right, so give thought of it. Think about it. Consider it. But God will give you the understanding. Amen? And that's our prayer this morning. Our prayer is, God, we're going to consider the Word of God. We're going to consider the Scriptures. And our prayer, God, is that you would give us the understanding. Amen. That we would think rightly. Amen. Not that we would come to God and say, oh, I'm going to figure this thing out. Amen. Our prayer is that God would give us the understanding. Amen. And so he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want some fruit. I want you to be established in the gospel. I want you to be strengthened. That word established means strengthened. And you know, you kind of think of it as a building word. You know, when you think about building some type of foundation, it's very important that you start with a solid foundation, isn't it? Man, this is sort of elementary, I know, this morning, but it's important that we have a good solid foundation before we ever start to build upon that building. And that's really what Paul means here. He goes, I want you to be established. I want you to be strengthened. I want your foundation to be secure. I mean, Paul had faced all types of opposition. He'd faced disdain by unbelievers. He'd faced death because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never once was he ashamed. Amen. Never once was he ashamed. Amen. Why? Because he could think back where he was and how the power of the gospel had worked in his life and had made such a transformation in his life, he wanted to share it with the world. Amen. He wanted the world to see. He wanted unbelievers. He says, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Power. If you don't mind underlining that word this morning in your Bible, you can underline that. The power, or really three words, power of God. Okay, four words. The power of God. It is the power of God. When we think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God. If I can use another one of those Greek words, I thought that's what it was this morning, so I double-checked it, and it's that word dunamis. Anybody got any idea what word we get in the English from dunamis? Dynamite. It is dynamite. Amen. When you think about dynamite, what is it that you think of? Something that's powerful. Something that has quite an impact. Now, I haven't had much, you know, contact with dynamite, but I've watched a lot of Westerns as a young boy. And that's one thing I knew, that when that stick came out and it had dynamite written on it, right? You had to be careful. You had to carry it around with such care. But every now and again, you know, they take three or four of those sticks and they'd stick them on some bank vault or something, and they'd light that dynamite and boom! You're awake now, ain't you? Amen. That dynamite had impact. Well, we don't have any problem figuring that out. We know dynamite is something you mess with. But do we understand this morning that the power of the gospel, it is dunamis today. It has power. Amen. It can have such an impact in people's lives. The good news of Jesus Christ has power. It has miraculous power. It has abundance power. It has wonder-working power in the name of Jesus. Amen. The power. The power to change our lives. Power to change. We need changing, right? We need a recreation. We need a transformation. Look just in this same book here in Romans 5. Now, you can preach the gospel in Romans, right? What do we call it? The Roman road, right? You can walk people down the Roman road, and your point of walking them down the Roman road is first for them to understand that they need a Savior. Amen. We bring them down the Roman road so they understand that they are lost. Paul puts it this way in Romans 5 and 6. He says, for when we were yet without strength. Amen. I got that highlighted in a different color. I got that in pink. Without strength, so it'll stick out to me. When ye were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So right there, we immediately see that that word without strength, it means that when you were sick, amen? When Jesus had gathered with his disciples there in the garden, and we know the agony that he was in there right before his arrest, right before, you know, what lie ahead. He knew what was ahead for him, according to John's gospel. Makes it very clear that he knew what was ahead. And he brought his disciples into the garden to pray, and he told them to pray there with him. And when he would come back, he would find his disciples asleep on different occasions. And he says this to him. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is without strength. It's the same word that we're reading here. Or he said, the flesh is weak. Your flesh is without strength. He said, I know you want to do this. You want to stay up and pray for me. or pray with me. But you're not able to because your flesh is weak or your flesh is without strength. We've been going through the book of Acts on Wednesday nights ever so thoroughly, right? Or slowly, maybe is the way to put it. But this past week, we were looking at the lame man, or the last two times we studied, we were looking at the lame man, that the great miracle that took place in Acts chapter number 3 after the day of Pentecost, and after they had received the power that was promised them. Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with dynamite, right? Until you be endued with power from on high. And so the Spirit of God has been poured out. Peter and John are walking by the gate. There's the lame man that's laying by the gate. And the Bible says in Acts 3 and 2, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He was lame. He had never walked. He had no strength. In another place there, he's described after the healing as being an impotent man. So someone had to bring him every day and lay him at the gate. He had no power to do it himself. He was without strength. He was lame. Now, of course, we know the great miracle that took place there, and we've been studying it there on Wednesday night, how that Peter and John came by, and he asked alms, and Peter says, look on us, as if we've got something to offer, we've got something to give you. And the man looked at Peter and John, expecting to receive alms from them. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the Bible says immediately his feet and ankle bones gained strength, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Why are we looking at that story this morning? Because that lame man was in the very same condition that you and I were before Christ. Amen. Before we received this gospel, we too were without strength. Amen. We too had to be carried. Amen. We too were weak, but yet the same miraculous power of Jesus Christ, the same Spirit of God that healed that lame man by the gate Beautiful, is the same Spirit of God that moved into our life and gave us strength. Amen? That's why when Paul says this, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I was going to stop there, but we got to read on. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us. Amen. He commendeth his love. He declared, he put his love on display. How did God put his love on display? By taking an impotent, weak person and giving him strength. Amen. By creating us anew today. He says he commendeth his love. He caused his love to stand out. He put it on display. Amen. That you and I might know his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amen. So we that were without strength, we that were impotent, laid at the gate daily, God has given us strength today. It's the power of the gospel. Amen? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it, for it is the power of God. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Man, God's chosen the weak things. We that were sitting here, we could all testify of our past life and what God has saved us from. And we probably have the same testimony. I don't know why he called me. I don't know why he chose me. I don't know why he gave me life. I don't know why, but I'm so thankful for it this morning. Amen. I could have died. There's plenty of chances when I was lost and out running in the world. I was a young man, and, you know, you think, well, you didn't have so much time to do things wrong. Well, I get that, but I do know I was on the wrong path, and there was a time in my life where I could have easily left this world at any time, but yet God had mercy upon me. Amen. And then even after I had an experience in my life where I almost left here from a terrible car wreck, and you think that would have turned me around right there, but it didn't. I still just kept going my own way. But yet God was merciful. God was patient. And then there was a day when he called my name and I answered. And I'm so thankful for that today, aren't you? Amen. That's my testimony. And I know you've got one as well. Amen. That God has called you out, and he called those that are weak of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So God chose the foolishness to confound the wise. God chose the weak to confound the mighty. Now we know this morning, because of what the gospel teaches us, and just as Jesus had presented the word to the Pharisees when they came to him, and they said, well, we don't need a physician. We're not sick. And Jesus said, okay, I didn't come for you. I didn't come for them that are whole. I came for the sick. I came for those that have a need. So we understand that what Jesus meant there was they were all sick. It ain't like there was one group over here that didn't need any healing. There was one group over here that didn't need saving. And so now it's not that Jesus doesn't call this mighty group over here. But in their own eyes, they're mighty. In their own eyes, they don't need deliverance. In their own eyes, they can just kind of look within themselves and pick themselves up, and on their way they go. But you and I have come to the understanding that we were impotent, that we were weak, that there were no mighty. And Paul goes on from there to say that, why did he choose the foolishness? Why did he choose the weak things? He says that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. We don't glory because we understand that in us there was no good thing. I seen a tweet the other week from, it's actually a pastor, a pretty popular pastor. I'll call his name and address just because. He tweeted this. His name was Steve Furtick, pastors Elevation Church down in Charlotte. Here's what he said concerning the gospel. He says, following Jesus doesn't change you into something else. It reveals who you've been all along. I'm going to let you think about that a second. That came from the mouth of a pastor. Man, how does that line up with, if we're in Christ Jesus, we're a new creation? Amen. I'm glad that the gospel did a whole lot more than take what was already there and just improve it. Amen. I've got to take issue with that. Now, I do think he got a lot of kickback from it. So there are some people out there that know the word of God and know the truth of God. But yet here he's saying, well, it's just in you. It's just God's got to bring it out of you. Amen. There's a lot in me. Amen. And I've brought a lot out. But I'm glad that God did a whole lot more than bring out what was already in there. Amen. James says this way, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. He begat us. He brought us forth from his word. We had to be born again the second time. As Jesus had his story there with Nicodemus. Oh, I don't understand, Lord. How can I enter again? Can I enter again into my mother's womb the second time and be born again? How is that even possible? We are beget by the word of God. Amen. That word beget there, he says, he beget us. He brought us forth. He produced us. He generated us by the word of God. Now, earlier on that, I thought it was interesting there in James. We're not looking at it here, but you can look at it on your own, James chapter number 1, because James actually does a little wordplay there, if you will, because earlier in that same text, he's talking about lust. He says, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, or it begets sin. And from there he says, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth or begets death. That's what we beget. Lust, sin, and death. That's what was in us. But then in comes the word of God. In comes the gospel. That's where James gets, he says, okay, lust begets sin. Sin begets death. And when you sin, you're led away of your own, right? That's in you. But yet here comes the word of God. His own will he beget. So James is kind of going, he goes, if you want something beget, beget from the word of God. He beget us of his own will with the word of truth. What man cannot do for himself, God has done for man. I mean, what we could not do of our own strength, why? Because we were without strength. The gospel declares that man is sinful and unable to remedy himself of his own condition. Look what Peter says. Look over in 1 Peter. Maybe hold your place there in Romans 3 because we're going to come back. Do a time check here. We're okay. 1 Peter, right there in the first chapter. Well, let's just start with verse 22. Yeah, 22 is good. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. It's unfeigned love. It's not made up. It's not hypocritical. It's not fake. It's the real deal. Amen. Only the gospel can produce that in the lives of someone, right? The gospel brings about a real change. Amen. There's a lot of things. I was talking to a friend of mine. I hesitate to say this. I might have to delete it offline. But anyway, mark this moment, Bill. I won't call his name. But so if he listens to it, he listens to it. But I was talking to him this week, and he was talking about some program he and his wife had just went through, and he sounded different. He legitimately sounded different. Sounded really positive and upbeat, and that just, not that he was, you know, a negative guy before, but he just, so I asked him, I said, so what's going on? You know, what, and I noticed, you know, he'd been sharing a lot of scriptures and different motivational things, and I'm like, so what's going on in your life? And he said, well, he said, we got this program. And he started telling me about it. And I said, so is this Christian based? Are these Christian people? Oh yeah, they've got some Christian foundation. He talked about all that. And he says, it's really made a change in my life. And I said, wow, that's something. He said, and so then he started throwing out all these names of people. Now I'll hesitate, I won't call them out this morning. I already called one name. I ain't going to call two in one sermon. And I got to hearing the names. I was like, ouch. And he said something else. I was like, ouch. And I said, so what did you, how do you get into this program? He goes, well, it's only $5,000 a person. Now, he got a discount. He told me about the discount. And so now he's working for this company. And I was like, oh, okay. Now, this is Amway, right? This is one of those schemes, you know, those pyramid things. We build you up, and we, you know, see the change, and we put you out there as a demonstration of the change, and now $5,000. You know what? You can come to Jesus, and I promise you, you don't have to write a check, at least not right away, right? I mean, we might hit you up later on, but if you come to God realizing your impotence, realizing that you are without strength, realizing that you need to be carried, and know that the power of the gospel is able to change you, you don't have to write a $5,000 check. You just come to him without money, without purse, and know that God is able to make a change that is a real change. And can go with you all the way to the end. Now, I'm not going to be too critical of this program yet, because you got to kind of wait it out and see how it works. But if it's just a matter of, okay, I'm going to go through this program, but when I really feel it, I got to count to 10, or I got to do this, or I got to grit my teeth, or, you know, sing a happy song or something, you know, to make sure that this don't come out. But here's what Jesus says in his gospel, as Peter has laid it out. The love that comes out of our heart through the Spirit of God is an unfeigned love of the brethren. It's not generated. It's not made up. It's not fake. It's the real deal. Amen. Why is it coming? Because it's coming from a changed heart today. See, we're not telling you to come to Jesus and just do better. We're talking about come to Jesus and fall at the feet of the cross and say that I am without strength. I can do nothing of my own. Father, save me. And know that he is able to make a change in your life. He says we're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And then he begins to quote from one of the prophets, actually it's the prophet Isaiah. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. So that's almost a verbatim quote from Isaiah 40. You can read that on your own. If we went there this morning, we would see that God had promised there from Isaiah deliverance from their oppressor, the oppressor that had come in because of Israel's disobedience, right? And so now this other power, particularly the Babylonians, had come in and had taken control of them. And so now God's promising, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to pick you up again. I'm going to forgive you of your transgression. And he begins to talk about the flower and the grass. Maybe with respect to the Babylonian power would fade, it would go away, but God's word, he says, that had promised restoration would not fail. Because he says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. That's direct from Isaiah. But then Peter does an addendum, if you will, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, because that's where he leaves off quoting Isaiah and says this, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, isn't it amazing that here Peter is going all the way back to the Old Testament scripture, going back all the way back to Isaiah. He's pulling a direct quote from Isaiah, talking about a restoration, talking about how the flower fadeth, the flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is as the flower of grass, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And he says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen? The promises of God, even throughout the Old Testament scripture, the gospel is declaring that we need a Savior. Amen? That we need a Savior. Look what he says. It is the power of God. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Unto our deliverance, unto our rescue. And that God has not left us out there. I mean, that we can come to him and be changed, that there's power, there's deliverance from sin, there's deliverance from judgment, there's deliverance from death, from hell, from the wrath of God. Power of God unto salvation, life in the Spirit of God, forgiveness of our sins, resurrected life, amen, for all eternity. For all eternity. We need a rescue, don't we? The world needs rescue, and they might not know it. I mean, may not recognize it. I was listening to a guy this past week on one of the podcasts. I can't remember what it was called, but he's talking about the postmodern era. He was actually sharing the gospel. That's what it was. Yeah, he was sharing the gospel with someone out on the street and asking them questions about, you know, what they thought the postmodern era was. And of course, I'm really smart, so I know that means after the modern, right? Postmodern. And he began to share, you know, what it was, what it meant, how that after the Enlightenment, that man thought that was going to be the cure. Now that we have all wisdom, we no longer need God. We can handle it ourselves. But then after the 20th century was one of the most murderous centuries in the history of man. This is after the Enlightenment, with World War I and World War II. Man's ability to fix himself was on full display, wasn't it? Even one of their own philosophers, Immanuel Kant, said that out of the crooked timber of humanity, no straight thing was ever made. But then yet here, enter in the gospel. Bring in the gospel. Yeah, mankind is capable of all manner of evil. It's just heart-rending sometimes to see what man has been capable of over time. I've been reading a book lately. It's called The Man's Search for Meaning. Can't think of the man's name right now. But he was a Jew during the World War II. Yes. What's that again? Viktor Frankl. That's right. And I've been listening to his story there in the concentration camp and all that he went through, and you just go away thinking, how can any human do that to another human? And we look at that and think but you know what, they were just man. They were flesh and blood. And yet they performed all these horrible atrocities. I don't even want to talk about them this morning. And to think that God can come in with the power of the gospel and change that. Amen. I believe he can, don't you? Amen. I believe that. If you remember the story when Jesus was walking down the street there, and there was that, remember Zacchaeus was up in that tree, and he was a publican, one of the richest ones, I guess, maybe the top of the line as far as publicans go. He comes down, and Jesus looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come down, because I got to go to your house today. And so down he comes, and we know how that the Lord went to his house. And, of course, all the Pharisees standing around say, I can't believe he's going to the house of a publican. But then Jesus says, and then there's clearly a work that's taking place in the life of Zacchaeus. He begins to say, I'm going to do this. If I've done this, I'm going to do this, and so forth. And then Jesus says, makes the statement. He goes, this day has salvation come unto your house. And then he finishes off with this statement. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. He came to seek and to save that was lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Man, don't make that, try to make that say any more than what it does, or come. It's just simply, because it comes from Ezekiel. I know we've looked at it before, because I've got the reference written down in that text there, talking about Zacchaeus. But if you look in Ezekiel chapter number 4, and if you would read the whole chapter, you don't have to turn there, because this is where Jesus pulls that scripture from, and it's talking about God feeding his flock, his lost sheep. As a shepherd seeketh after his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. And he says, I will feed my flock. Verse 15 of Ezekiel 34. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. Amen. See the contrast in there this morning? Those people that will stand back and say, I'm fat, I'm strong, I have no need, I don't need God, I don't need saving. God's going to feed them all right. But it's with judgment. It's with wrath. But it's those lost sheep that come to him. I'm lost. I need saving. It's those that he says, I'll seek them. Amen. I'll seek those that are lost. I'll bring back again those that were driven away or scattered. I'll bind up them that was broken. I'll strengthen them which are sick. He said, I'll do this. Amen. I'll do this. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So I'll leave you with three words here. The power, salvation, and then here's the third one. Faith. I'll just simplify those, everyone that believeth. Faith. Says it is the gospel, it is salvation to everyone that believeth. Salvation operates through faith. Amen. That our salvation is brought about where there is faith. There is the power of God to operate in salvation, saving faith. That we come to God when we recognize our lost state, when we recognize our weakness, our brokenness, and we come to God, He is able to save us. Romans, I know we can probably quote this, but this has been on my mind a lot lately, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What saith the scripture? Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And so we can bring this full back all together this morning as we close. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus says here in his word, says, if you'll believe on me, as the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Why? Because God's going to do exactly what God said he would do. Amen. That we can have confidence this morning to know that we will not be disappointed in the promises of God. Amen. That he will do. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And then he goes into the Jew first and also to the Greek or to the Gentile, however you want to word that. But it just simply lays out how the salvation came into the world. We looked at it this past Wednesday night there in the book of Acts, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Amen. That the way has been opened up, and that you and I, through faith in his word, the power of the gospel. God, help us to know it, to be convinced of it, and know that God is able. There's no one beyond his reach. There's no one beyond that dunamis, if you will. Even the power, the dynamite, that he can't change. And I wish we had the time. I'd love to hear every one of you's testimony of the time when God moved into your life and saved you, changed you, made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I love that scripture when it talks about that we're saved to the uttermost, right? I mean, the old timers said, saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. And that's our God this morning. Amen. The power of the gospel. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your truth, God, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you for that today, Lord, that you have demonstrated your love toward us. God, that you loved us when we were unlovable. Lord, and you made a way. God, when we weren't looking for a way. Father, you made a way of escape because you are faithful, and we thank you for that today. Lord, we rejoice, God, that we have received strength. God, that we no longer are lame laying by the gate, Lord, begging alms. But now we have reason to rejoice. God, we have reason to shout. Father, we have reason to dance. We have reason to run through the temple and give you praise. God, because you have given us strength today. Lord, it's by your hand. Lord, it's by your hand. We don't look to ourselves, Father, but we look to you. And God, we're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. for it truly is the power of God unto salvation. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We pray.